song that I have been singing since I was a child. For 19 years of my life, I was hearing that song and singing, I guess, some of it, and I did not understand one word of it. My great-grandparents sung it. My grandparents sung it. My mom and dad sung it. In nearly every church we went to, particularly the Baptist churches, we would sing that beautiful song, Near the Cross, by Fanny Crosby. I didn't know who Fanny Crosby was, did not care who Fanny Crosby was, did not even know she wrote the song for 19 years of my life. But on that day that she talked about, when I met Christ at the cross, December the 19th, 1979 for me, I met Jesus and I trusted Jesus as my Savior. I got saved out of religion, in spite of religion and in spite of the church. I did not get saved in church, I got saved in the dorm room. And my life has never been the same. And I know, and everybody who knows me knows, that I firmly believe that the Word is not bound. The Word of God is not bound. I told my oldest son the other day, who said he wanted to preach when he was a little boy, I told him that I believe that a man can go out into the wilderness, out into the woods, and proclaim the gospel, and God will give him results. That's how powerful the gospel is. And I told him, John the Baptist did it. And I said to him, and I've said to him many times, and I've said this to many people, if God has truly called you to preach, you will preach. You don't need a crowd to preach, but you will preach, because like Jeremiah said, it's like a fire shut up in your bones. You cannot help but preach. The old black saints used to say that something along the lines of, I couldn't keep it to myself. God has been so good to me. Jesus has been so good to me. I'm talking about saints coming out of slavery and coming out of the hell of Jim Crow. They just could not keep Jesus bound up inside. They couldn't keep it to themselves. That's what they used to sing. And that's what they used to say. And that's what we're talking about today in this message titled Prayer, Pain, and Preaching, Part 2. And I would like my oldest son to provide for me somehow, because this just came to my mind. This is what God does to a preacher. You got your message already set, and God will give you something else. But I want my oldest son to provide for me somehow, as best he can, the 5 points that a preacher, I think his name is McDonald, wrote an article and said preachers are doing basically everything but preaching the gospel and preaching the word today. And it's very dangerous. And you can just write them on a piece of paper or however you want to do that. But I want to mention those things because it is so true. And he's so right. And I've said it often myself. And I believe it's because many preachers don't believe in the power of the gospel as they used to. They don't believe in the power of the word of God preached as they used to. But that's what we're talking about today, as this message is titled Prayer, Pain, and Preaching, Part 2, Praying Through the Bible, Number 3, 10 or 11. Earlier it was 10. Hello? Message 311. Let's stand for the reading of God's holy word. And turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1, verse 12, and we will read verses 12 through 21. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, wrote, "But I would ye should understand, brethren, don't you worry about a thing, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." Now, I personally know how this works. Years ago, the devil tried to use someone to derail me from preaching the gospel. And they thought they had me. And they thought I would be hindered from preaching the gospel. And they didn't realize the devil was using them for evil, but God meant it for good. And if I had stayed in the situation that I was in, the vision that God put in my heart when he called me to preach so many years ago would have never been fulfilled, and I would not have preached the gospel literally thousands of times since that time when the devil was using this person to try to hinder me from preaching the gospel. And I would not have preached to literally millions of people around the world in multiple languages, and thousands of folks would not have been saved. So I know firsthand that the gospel is not bound. The word of God is not bound, and God has to give you a certain kind of faith to understand that, and everybody does not have it, but I pray that if you are a preacher, you have it, and that if you don't have it, you'll get it. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." This is so true and so real to me, and I hope that you understand it for yourself. The word of God is not bound. You can put a man like Paul in jail, and the word of God, the gospel, will get out. Verse 13, "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Even though he was bound in jail, basically house arrest, through the guards who had to watch over him, he preached the gospel to them and got the gospel into the palace and to the officials. If God wants you, listen to me very carefully, if God wants you to preach before kings and presidents, he will make a way for you to do that. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." In other words, they saw Paul preaching the gospel in jail without fear. So that gave them confidence and boldness to preach the gospel without fear. Amen, somebody. And this word is not necessarily about preaching behind the pulpit, but also, it included that, but also just interviewing people, if you will, at a coffee shop, having conversations about Jesus with people, witnessing on a one-on-one basis. Verse 15, "Some indeed preach Christ even of envy." Paul was in the present tense here, because it was going on while he was bound in jail, in house arrest. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. In other words, both parties, both groups were preaching the gospel, were preaching Christ. These were not the Judaizers who believed and taught that you needed to obey the law to be saved, or to keep the law to be saved. These were born-again, Bible-believing Baptist preachers, if you will. But some had a problem with Paul, and they preached with wrong motives to kind of irritate Paul or get on Paul and say, we can do it without you, Paul. We don't give Paul any credit. But others preach with a good heart and good motives and with a good will. And we have both parties today. We have some people who preach the gospel for wrong reasons and with wrong motives, and some who do it with goodwill and with the right motives. Verse 16, the one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely. They're not sincere. They're in it for the money. They're in it for the prestige. They're in it to be known. They're in it to get back at somebody. Some are in it because their mama called them. Their mama wanted them to be a preacher. So they want to please their mama so much they go out and preach, and they're a total failure. Some, the dad wanted them to be a preacher because he was a preacher, which is a huge mistake. If they're not called by God, they're not going to succeed in preaching the gospel, and they will not continue preaching the gospel. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. They're not, they know that the old man, Paul, is set for the defense of the gospel. And so they preach the gospel the way he taught them to do it, and encouraged them to do it. And it's a beautiful thing. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. Paul was not one of those who said, if you're not a part of my clan, you're not a part of my tribe, if I did not ordain you, you don't even exist. He was not that way. He said, it doesn't matter to me how they preach it, why they preach it, as long as Christ is preached. Amen, somebody. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Recently, a missionary out of here went on a mission trip, and I was just thrilled and glad that they went and so forth. Being the kind of preacher that I am, I guess you would call me a pocket preacher, like a pocket quarterback. I still believe that you ought to stand flat-footed and proclaim the gospel, and not do all of these other fancy things to try to get people saved. She reported back that they, this year, their mission effort was about, was using basketball. Using basketball to win people to Christ. And that's not my cup of tea, but as long as they're proclaiming Christ and preaching Christ and people are getting saved, hey, more power to them. Amen, somebody. She told me that 16 people got saved. And I said, that's wonderful. That's worth it all right there. If just one person got saved, it's worth it all. I would not use basketball, but if that's what they want to use to get the gospel out to people, glory be to God. It doesn't matter. Just get it done. Get it done. As some of our old country folks would say, get it done. Just get it done. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in patience or in truth, I mean, rather in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice. And yes, and will rejoice. And some of us older preachers might as well get used to it. The millennials are going to preach the gospel differently than we have done. And they're already doing it. They have a totally different mentality than the baby boomers. And they're doing things in a different way. And so as long as they are proclaiming the gospel of Christ, we ought to pray for them and support them. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Watch this, whether it be by life or by death. Paul knew that if they let him live, he was going to keep on winning the soldiers of Rome to Christ. He was going to continue to reach and win people in Caesar's palace to Christ, because he was not going to stop preaching the gospel, no matter how many guards he had surrounding him. And for a whole 8-hour shift, if you will, or 10-hour shift, Paul would proclaim the gospel to every guard. Just imagine those guards having to listen to Paul for 8 hours. Preach the gospel and proclaim the gospel and teach the word of God. And they would get saved and they would go back into the palace. Woo! Man, something happened to me in there. And the officials and Caesar and everybody said, what? Well, man, I got saved. I trusted Christ as Savior. What? We arrested him, and now he done arrested you. And Paul also knew that if they killed him, the gospel would go even further. So it didn't matter to Paul, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Amen, somebody. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We've already heard a message today from your holy word. And Lord, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy and grace upon each and every one of us, and forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh and the old man within us all, and fill us all with the power of your Holy Spirit to proclaim your holy gospel, to preach your holy word as Paul did so many years ago, and who set a good example for all of us to understand that the gospel in your holy word is not bound. We just need to proclaim it as you have commanded us to. And Lord, we pray that you would rebuke and bind our enemy, the devil, his demons, and his hosts. Lord, from this time together, demonstrate the power of your Holy Spirit and speak to the hearts of your people. Some are weak and some are torn down by the devil. While doing good, they fail to pray, fail to read your holy word, and they fall apart. And it is the devil seeking to destroy them and to blast them out of the waters and to keep them from proclaiming the gospel and helping others to proclaim the gospel. Open their blinded eyes and unstop their deaf ears and help them to see what the devil is doing to them and how their flesh is responding to the devil. And give them sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that those who have been infested with the demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage, cast that demonic spirit out of their lives and save their souls through the blood of Christ, and help them to stand for you and to stand for Christ, and to stop trying to hinder your work on earth and your kingdom, but to trust in you, to love you, to fear you, to obey you, and to be faithful to you. And we pray that through it all, through all of the spiritual warfare that we have to go through, all of the demonic attacks that we have to go through to get the gospel out, and to even have this meeting, people who are participating worldwide right now on multiple streaming devices and lines going out of here, Lord, don't know all of the attacks and the satanic attacks against us and the warfare, spiritual warfare we have to face to even make it to this moment. And so, Lord, I pray that those who are lost and blinded by Satan, you would open their eyes and unstop their deaf ears and save their souls and change their lives. Revive those who are saved and help them to do what David did, and that is encourage themselves in the Lord through prayer and through reading your holy word and obeying it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, by the grace of God, as many of you know, we are in a rather long series of Bible messages titled Praying Through the Bible. Praying through the Bible. It's one thing to read the Bible. It's one thing to read about prayer. It's another thing to pray. And between the two is a world of difference in your Christian life. This is a series on every passage and verse regarding prayer in the Bible. And may I just say to you, when you pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, you invite the devil to fight against you. I know that some of my more charismatic brothers and sisters may not like that statement, but it's true, and they know it's true from experience. I tell people all of the time who say, well, I want to pray more, so I'm glad you're dealing with this. I will tell them, you must understand that when you start praying more, particularly when you start praying more with your family and with others, the devil is going to attack you, Danae, and fight against you and try to keep you back and discourage you from praying. The purpose of this series, ladies and gentlemen, is to encourage and motivate you to pray to the God of the Bible. By the grace of God, we have highlighted each of these over 500 verses and passages in the Prayer Motivator Devotional Bible. So far, we have completed 310 messages in this series. This is message number 311, simply titled Prayer, Pain, and Preaching, Part 2. Check this. Is that got the right view? Huh? Does that have the right view over here? By way of introduction to this message, I read something today by Dr. Warren Wiersbe that I want to pass on to you. He said, the same God who used Moses' rod, the same God who used Gideon's pitchers, the same God who used David's sling used Paul's chains. to have his will come to pass. Little did the Romans realize that the chains they affixed to his wrists would release Paul instead of bind him. And may I say to you, my beloved, that there are thousands upon thousands of saints down through the years who can testify to this, that human beings, evil human beings, sometimes even in your family, sometimes even in your church, the devil will use to try to bind you up. And in their attempt to get rid of you or to stop you or to destroy you or to bind you up or to hinder you, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, for his good and for the good of others. It may have cost you something, it may have caused you some pain. Some of you, you know exactly what I'm talking about, from India to Pakistan to the Philippines to England to Germany to Russia, wherever you're listening, you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And across America, they meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And you're in a bound situation, and somehow God will take you and use you to reach thousands and even millions. It happened in my life. I know about this very well, as I've already told you. Dr. Wordsby continues, even as he wrote during a later imprisonment, I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the Holy Spirit of God put something into Paul's heart and mind that went like this: but the word of God is not bound. Amen, somebody. The word of God is not bound. Complain about his chains, like so many of you complain about your so-called chains or limitations. Instead, he consecrated them to God and asked God to use them for the of the gospel. Paul was a pioneer. The gospel was a new thing, and Paul was one of the pioneers of proclaiming the gospel to a dying and lost world. And Dr. Wordsby said, and God answered his prayers. To begin with, these chains gave Paul contact with the lost, did it not? People who were binding him up. He was chained to a Roman soldier 24 hours a day. They had heard some of the stories of Paul and Silas and the others being chained, and Peter being chained, and God causing earthquakes and causing them to escape. They had heard about these things. So I assure you, they did everything they could make sure that Paul was locked up good and tight. The shifts changed every 6 hours, which meant Paul could witness to at least 4 men each day. Imagine yourself as one of those soldiers chained to a man who prayed without ceasing, chained to a man who was constantly interviewing people about their spiritual condition. Can you imagine being chained to Paul, and Paul is praying to God and praying that God would move upon Caesar's heart and praying for you while you're sitting there? Lord, I pray for Jared, my guard that's chained to me right now. Lord, I pray that you would save his soul from a burning hell. I pray that you would open his blinded eyes. Can you imagine? And then Paul ran back, chained to his little audience, captive audience. Paul looking over at Jared and saying, Jared the guard, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? Imagine yourself as one of those soldiers, chained to a man who prayed without ceasing, who was constantly interviewing people, witnessing to people about their spiritual condition, and who was repeatedly writing letters to Christians and churches throughout the empire. It was not long before some of these soldiers put their faith in Christ. Paul was able to get the gospel into the elite Praetorian Guard, something he could not have done had he been a free man. But the chains gave Paul contact with another group of people as well, the officials in Caesar's court, the governmental leaders of one of the greatest empires in the history of the world. He was in Rome as an official prisoner, and his case was an important one. For these people, the Bible says, turned the world upside down, that is the then known Roman world, shook it up. And Paul was a ringleader. Somebody said that when Paul came to town, either there was going to be a revival or a riot, but something was going to happen when Paul arrived. The Roman government was going to determine the official status of this new Christian sect. Was it merely another sect of the Jews? Or was it something new and possibly dangerous? Imagine now, ladies and gentlemen, how pleased Paul must have been, knowing that the court officials were forced to study the doctrines of the Christian faith. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes God has to put chains on his people to get them to move, to get them to accomplish a pioneer advance of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that could never happen any other way. I know about this. I'm telling you, I have had this experience, and I believe that not all preachers, but many preachers have had this experience. They know that God will put you in a tough situation and you think, well, what is this right here? What's going on? But God has a plan to use you even in a greater fashion and in a greater way. And you don't realize it oftentimes until you look back 10, 15 years and realize what God did for you. It's a long story. I can tell it to you, but I don't have the time today. But it's a wonderful story. Maybe you'll read about it one day. Young mothers may feel chained to the house as they care for their young children. But God can use those chains, if you will, if you want to call them chains, to reach people with the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Susanna Wesley, one of the greatest mothers of all time, was the mother of 19 children. We don't hear about 17 of them, but we do hear about two of them. And this was before the days of labor-saving devices, such as washing machines and disposable diapers. little cameras that can watch your babies for you and all that kind of thing. Out of that large family came John and Charles Wesley, whose combined ministries shook up the British Isles, all of England, and America to this day. When you see a Methodist church, think about John and Charles Wesley, and you will find one in almost every city or more. You know who is ultimately responsible? Yes, their father, but Susanna Wesley mostly. She's the one who had devotions with her children. She's the one who prayed with her children and taught them the Word of God and put the fire in their belly and sent those boys out to turn the world upside down. At 6 weeks of age, I said 5 years, I was way off. At 6 weeks of age, Fanny Crosby was blinded. But even as a youngster, she determined not to be confined by the chains of darkness. In time, she became a mighty force for God through her hymns and gospel songs that we just got through singing and that millions are singing around the world today. And I sung not only one of her songs today from the hymn book for her sake and for her honor and for the glory of God, but I also sung it because someone wrote an article recently basically titled "The Tragedy of Hymn Books Disappearing from the Church." The secret is this: when you have the single mind, Dr. Wiersbe said, you look on your circumstances as God-given opportunities. I want to repeat that. If you have the single mind for Christ, when you have the single mind for God, you look on your circumstances as God-given opportunities for the furtherance of the gospel. Now, I cannot explain that to you, but it just is that way, and if you're spiritually if you're where you should be spiritually, if you have any discernment from God, you understand that that is how it is. If you're growing in God's grace, you know that every circumstance you find yourself in, you can use it for the glory of God and for the lifting up of Jesus Christ and for the furtherance of the gospel. I cannot explain that to you. It's just in a Bible-believing, God-fearing Christian. It's just, no matter what the case is, no matter what the situation is, be it sickness, be it health, be it death, be it marriage, be it divorce, whatever the case might be, you're going to find some way to share the gospel with others, to further the cause of the kingdom. I cannot explain that to you. I wish I could, but it is what it is. And you rejoice at what God is going to do, instead of complaining about what God did not do. Can somebody say amen? We have too many complainers in the church and far too few doers in the church. Always concerned and full of anxiety about their situation and what they're going through. Always throwing a pity party for themselves and inviting others to be depressed and sad and pitiful like they are. If Tyler Perry understands that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all of us, we don't need to get on the cross. That's what he said the other day. Jesus died on the cross for all of us. Yes, we have a cross to bear, but Jesus rose from the dead, and we should be victorious. And we should tell our faces about that victory. For too many of us, as so-called Christians, look like we have swallowed a curtain rod and we are mad as the devil and mean as the devil. No joy, no peace, no happiness in serving God. And my dear friend, there is something wrong with that picture. Dr. Worsby continued, Paul's chains not only gave contact with the lost, but they also gave courage to the saved. Many of the believers in Rome took fresh courage when they saw Paul's faith and determination. They were much more bold to speak the word without fear. That word speak does not necessarily mean preach. Rather, it means everyday conversation, one-on-one witnessing. No doubt many of the Romans were discussing Paul's case because such legal matters were of primary concern to this nation of lawmakers. And the Christians in Rome who were sympathetic to Paul took advantage of this conversation to say a good word for the Lord Jesus Christ. Discouragement has a way of spreading, but so does encouragement. Because of Paul's joyful attitude and spirit, the believers in Rome took fresh courage and witnessed boldly for the Lord Jesus Christ. I wanted to share that with you by way of introduction, in addition to the things I've already said from the Word of God. I have a whole lot more to share with you, but the Lord is leading me to cut it off at that point. And before I leave you, however, if you were to die today, where would you go? Heaven or hell? If you are with us today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, your first prayer needs to be what we call the sinner's prayer. First, please understand with me that you are a sinner and that you are lost and need to be found. You are a sinner just as I am a sinner. From the Pope on down, we're all sinners. We have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty. There is a punishment always for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, to have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, hell in the lake of fire is bad news, but I have some good news for you, straight from the mouth of Jesus Christ. For he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. and pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. For Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dear friend, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you. If you're prepared to do that, if you're ready to do that, I'll be glad to lead you in prayer right now. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a wicked sinner, and that I have done evil in your sight. I have broken your Ten Commandments. Not only have I sinned by nature, I have sinned by choice. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of dishonoring my parents. Please forgive me of my sin of dishonoring you by taking your name in vain. Forgive me of my sins of lying. Forgive me of my sin of stealing. And forgive me of my sin of lusting after people and things. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of all of my sins as I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. And change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and help me to truly repent of my sins past, and to turn from my evil ways, and to follow you, Lord Jesus, throughout the remainder of my life on earth and on into heaven. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God in the Bible, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've done the most important thing in life. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Have Entered Through the Door. That is trusting Christ as Savior. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. He really does. And by God's grace, we love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. If there is a next time, we'll see you then. Let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for what you have done, Lord, here today. What you've done in the past, what you're doing in the present, what you will do in the future, we look forward to it because we know that you are the one and only good God. And we thank you, Lord, for making sure that your gospel, your holy word being preached, even though it may be bound by human beings, still gets out. And we praise you and we thank you for that. And we give you the glory, the praise, and the honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. God bless you, dear friend. Until next time.